can I be the man when you the man? Last week we had some baptisms. Woohoo! So if you're here, I have your baptism certificates. I'll call your name out later and I'll pass it out to you. We're going to share in some communion. There's also a child dedication that's supposed to happen too. So sit back, hang around. It's going to be an awesome time in the presence of the Lord. It already has been. Amen? We're finding ourselves in 2 Corinthians. The church in Corinth had all kinds of problems. They had relationship problems among believers. They had relationship problems among the believers. Things that would stagger us to our very core. Probably divide the body and hurt the body. In this particular letter, Paul's writing to people that have criticized him harshly and cruelly. They're questioning his authority. They're questioning his authenticity. They question his sincerity. They question his motives. And in the midst of the onslaught of abuse and criticisms and all the questions that come at him, he writes about grace. He's displaying the very grace he writes about. Corinth now is a great and prosperous Greek seaport city. And it rose to great prominence and it was destroyed. And it would rise up again and it would be captive and taken over and destroyed many times over because of its strategic location. And the city always would rise again, but when it would rise again, it would always resume its same old habits. Sexual immorality, paganism, idolatry, basic general corruption of society. And the Apostle Paul's led by the Holy Spirit of God to plant a church, to found a church there, and to bring this very diverse population into the understanding of good news of Jesus Christ. The population consists of slaves, Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, and he's there preaching about the unity in Jesus Christ. And although the Corinthian church was gifted in many, many ways by God, the church was engaging in some practices that were contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And some were even distorting the message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul touches on so many different things as you go through 2 Corinthians letter. And I encourage you, keep on reading. Read the entire letter. It contrasts the New Testament with the Old Testament. The ministry of reconciliation encourages generosity. He speaks of repentance, purity of the church as the bride of Christ. He mentions his own personal thorn of troubles. And of course, he mentions God's great grace. And I wanted to touch on the grace of God. Because it's not a doctrinal theology. It is an example of the way that the disciples lived their lives. Sometimes it just becomes a decree. Something we hear, but we do not do. God's grace runs through the entirety of Scripture. And it's a central theme of Scripture, how God works. Listen, a working grace. How God's grace works to bring man into relationship with himself. Not based on your deeds, but on his great grace. Paul invites people to move into this grace. He invites his readers into a very deep understanding of what this grace is and how to walk it, how to live it, how to reflect it, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of problems and troubles and circumstances that seem as if God is very far away. Our scripture, verse 1 in that particular chapter. As co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And then he quotes Isaiah. In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. So here's your first one. Don't waste grace. Don't waste grace. Now here's the content from Isaiah. This is the content from Isaiah when he wrote that. Israel is in captivity, in despair. And what does God do in that situation? He hears their cry. He hears their plea. He listens to them. He helps them in the day of their trouble. And Paul uses that very same verse to help the Corinthians. He's using that same verse to help you. The Lord has heard you, and in an acceptable time, he has answered you. Now, that's kind of disturbing for me. I don't know about how it is for you, but that kind of, it ruffles my feathers a little bit because, how many people know this? God works in his time, not in yours. So that can kind of ruffle your feathers at times. Am I right? Come on now. I don't necessarily like it. It seems like God is into the last minute. And you know, when I'm calling the last minute, God's calling on time. We have to listen for him. We have to listen to him. Trust him and not waste the grace. Even if things seem to linger, God sees you. God is moving. Don't let the grace that God has imparted upon you be without purpose. Don't let it be in vain. Don't waste the opportunity to find the answers that you've been looking for, that you desire to know, the desires of your fullness of your heart that you long for. The Lord has lavished his grace and his love upon us. Don't waste it. He has poured out his love. Don't waste it. He's given us forgiveness. Don't waste it. He's given us second chances. Don't waste it. He's given us redemption and reconciliation. Don't waste it. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time for him to show himself strong. And the Lord desires to show himself strong. In the midst of your trial, grace abounds. In the midst of the valley, grace abounds. Every step of your journey, his grace is sufficient for you. Don't waste the grace. Don't waste it. Don't abuse it. Cherish it. Understand what God has done and how he's poured out his love upon you. Cherish this wonderful opportunity to feel the love of God and allow grace to be applied to all of your relationships, totally depending upon him and trusting in him. I know you want what you want when you want it, but God knows when you need it. And you're going to have to walk in that grace and say, your grace is sufficient, even though I don't feel it, even though I don't understand it. I'm going to walk in the grace that you have lavished upon me. Paul's saying, don't put it off. Stop making excuses for your delay. His grace is upon you now. So I'm going to ask you a question. I might ask you a couple today, but I'm going to ask you a question. Is God at work in your life? I'll ask. Maybe everybody will respond. Just those that you believe, you know, that he's always. Is God at work in your life? Okay. Now, you don't have to respond to me. How? The message of grace and the power of God is validated by what he had to go through for you to get it. A very high price was paid to offer you this salvation, to offer you this grace, to offer you this very moment. Do you spit on it? Do you ignore it? Do you run away from it? Do you say, hey, you know what? Later, I'll get around to it. Here's your next slide. You have God's favor upon you now. Give God's grace a chance. Give God's grace a chance. You can say that to him on the phone too. Answer the phone just, give God's grace a chance, baby. Give God's grace a chance. I'm being gracious. He has covered you, protected you, he will sustain you. Is that me? Was it my phone? I don't know. My phone's over there. No. You can answer that. Just sing Jesus loves you. That's, you know, yeah, Jesus loves you. I'm in church. Where are you at? I'm waiting for you. Why aren't you here? Verse 11 reads this way, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. There you go, enter his grace. There's your next one, enter his grace. We didn't fence you in. Grace brings freedom from captivity. Though I may be persecuted for my faith, the weakness that you feel comes from your own flesh. The fear that arises within you from your own insecurity. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, though you're living them in a very small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live authentically and graciously before the Lord. Consistent Christianity is not dependent on circumstance. Why is it so difficult for us to enter into such freedom that God has lavished upon us, to live a grace-filled life each and every day? Because it requires self-control? Because it requires a little bit of discipline? Because it requires meekness? Strength under control? Because it requires humility? Why are we so afraid? Because we're afraid. It's fear. We're fearful of what other people think. We're fearful of ridicule. We're fearful of being teased. We're fearful of prison. Do you think Paul was afraid of prison? Find the freedom of living with Christ. Find a relationship of living with God. Then it's not filled with fear. It is not filled with condemnation. It is not filled with mistrust and envy and jealousy and bitterness and strife. Discover a life of walking in the grace of God that brings fellowship, that brings friendship, deep affection, love, and respect. Grace should find its way into your home. Mercy should find a way into your home. Forgiveness should find a way into your homes. And it will be there because you are there. Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God's presence is in your home. Don't ignore it. Don't waste it. Enter into his grace and watch what God. Listen, these are personal revivals. These are personal revivals that are happening in your own heart, in your own head, in your own spirit. God is a personal God. Revival starts right here, right now, right here, right now. Everything changes as soon as you do. Enter into a grace-filled life. And he writes, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. We have to stop. I can't even go any further. We have to stop. As servants of God, are you a servant of God? Are you a servant of God? Or do you think that that's just the apostles and the preachers and the seminary teachers? Are you servant of God? You hold sacred the things of Christ. You think about what God thinks about. You desire to be his disciple and walk in his ways and in his teachings. Here's your next slide. Are you a servant of God, or is God a servant of yours? And this attitude can make the journey of one togetherness in Christ, or it sets you on a path where you're walking in the world and walking in the flesh, where the Lord of hosts is kind of like a vending machine. You throw in a few good prayers, and then you hope the magic sky genie somehow delivers. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Which way? No, we commend ourselves in every way. Which way? Listen, are you sure? Are you sure? In troubles? In hardships? In distresses? In beatings, in imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, in sleepless nights, in hunger, in purity and understanding, in every way, always we commend ourselves to Christ, no matter what the circumstance. Patient and kind, in the Holy Spirit of God, with sincere love and truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons in both our hands, through glory and through dishonor. Bad report and good report. Genuine, but being regarded as imposters. I can't say it any better than the scriptures say it. In every way, we commend ourselves to being servants of God in Jesus Christ. Completely surrendered to God no matter what. Consistent Christianity. His grace is upon us no matter what comes at you. This is not a doctrinal statement. This is a way of life. Known, yet regarded as unknown. Dying, and yet we live on. Beaten, but not yet dead. Sorrowful, but I still keep rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich in the understanding of Christ. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. The grace-filled life is the only way to walk through this life. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. Fear not, Jesus would say, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. He overcame the world. You're not. Not with your ways and with your logic. He did. And the only saving grace you got is that you are in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, filled with the power of God himself to overcome the world. He has empowered us and lavished upon us this great power. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, you're wandering and you're lost and you're aimless. Apart from Christ, you will be heavy burdened and frustrated and confused. Apart from Christ, you will be anxious and hopeless and unfulfilled and full of fear. Come, come, lay your burdens down. Even when your circumstances are troubling, you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. You feel imprisoned? Enter into his grace. You feel trapped? Enter into his grace. Are you worried? Come, lay your burdens down. Enter his grace. You feeling resentful and angry and ashamed, scarred? Come. lay your burdens down. Enter his grace. God's favor is upon you. Not will be, not hope to be, not someday in the future when I'm dead. His grace and his favor is upon you now. Receive it. Receive it. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit fall afresh upon us in this place, this very day. In any heart that is open to receive, may they receive you. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Give me an amen. I'm going to tell you a few things the Holy Spirit of God's going to do. Ready? The Holy Spirit will direct us. There's your next slide. The Holy Spirit's going to direct us. And sometimes God has to light a fire under you to get you to move. Problems often point us into a new direction and motivate us to change. Is God trying to get your attention? Well, he must be, because I got lots of problems, Lord. I got problems coming out of my ears. I got so many problems. I guess the Lord's trying to talk to me, trying to get me to do something. Listen, persecution spread the gospel. Thank God for persecution. Talk about you don't think like God. And sometimes we don't even see what God is doing. We only feel the storm. We only see the persecution. And in those moments, we have to trust him. We have to trust in his grace. And God will interrupt what you think your life is and redirect you. So, can God interrupt your day? God interrupted my life. The Holy Spirit of God will also inspect us. Here's your next one. Inspect us. See, people are like tea bags. If you want to know what's on the inside, just drop them in some hot water. Has God ever tested your faith with a problem? What do problems reveal about you? See, did circumstances and problems make Jesus the Messiah? Or did circumstances and problems reveal that Jesus was the Messiah? Did circumstances make Paul a gracious man? Or did circumstances reveal that Paul was a gracious man? Did circumstances make you bitter and vengeful, or do they just reveal that you're bitter and resentful and angry? Kind of like money. Money has a tendency to make you more of what you already are. You're generous with a little, you'll be generous when you got a lot. You're stingy with a little, you will be stingy when you got a lot. And do you think the Lord inspects you and tests you in your finances? Holy Spirit will also correct us. There's your next one. He'll correct us. Some lessons we can only learn through pain and failure. It's likely as a child your parents kind of told you, hey, don't play with fire. But you probably didn't learn till you got burned. Or you start putting your finger over the flame. You say, yeah, that is hot. Yeah. That's how you learn. We have to have a willingness to be corrected and taught. Listen to me carefully. It's okay to learn from your mistakes. It's okay to learn from your mistakes. Yeah, I don't think it's okay to not learn from your mistakes. I think it's okay to learn from your mistakes. Learn our lessons and move on. God puts it pretty plain. This is in Revelations. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Learn your lesson. The flame is hot. I don't want to go there. Fentanyl will kill me. I should probably stop shooting up. Learn some lessons and move on. The Holy Spirit will correct us, and it's okay to make mistakes. The Holy Spirit's also going to connect us. There's your next one. You're going to connect us. You ever been to a funeral? Let me see your right hand. Anybody ever been to a funeral? Or most people just trying to avoid them. I'm only going to go to my own, you know. Just go to a funeral. When somebody dies in the family, a loved one, people gather from far and wide, man, and they'll come to the funeral, won't they? People want to be together in times of trouble. When someone's ill or seriously sick or they land in the hospital, friends and families and neighbors, they all gather to check in. Sometimes they'll even cook you meals. They make sure things are okay with you and doing all right. They go to hospitals and make phone calls. We get connected again sometimes. And we often invite God to participate and be a part of those things. And often when there's a celebration, family gathers around, when there's child dedications, when there's baptisms, whenever there's weddings and birthdays, it gather around, connects us. Staying connected is a high priority of the Holy Spirit of God. Staying connected to each other is a high priority of the Holy Spirit of God. We have this vertical relationship with God that he has paid a high price that we might have this great connection with him through Jesus. And then we have this horizontal connection with each other, one another, through the Holy Spirit of God that unites us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's amazing what God has done. It's amazing how he connects us. And if we walk in the Spirit, we see the connections. If you walk in the flesh, you see the hatred. The Holy Spirit is doing wonderful work. Do you know what it is that he's doing in your life? Do you recognize how he's at work, the very things that he's doing for you? Not look at me and go, hey, I can see how God's working in the pastor's life. You look at somebody, I can see what God's doing in your life clearly. And then you sit there and go, God, where are you in my life? He's in your life. He's here. He's with you. What's he doing? God will also, and this is the best one probably, he'll perfect us. He'll perfect us. This is great. It's your last one. See, problems are character builders. God is far more interested in your character than your comfort. You need me to say that again so that you might squirm a little and get a little, I don't think I like that, but God is more interested in your character than your comfort. So what does that tell you about this great God that you so love and adore? He's interested in your character. He's not interested in your comfort. Years ago, a team of engineers walked into Henry Ford. You know who Henry Ford is? A founder of Ford Automobiles, right? So a team of engineers walk into Henry Ford's office and they say, "We have a problem, sir." Henry Ford's response was, "Congratulations." No, seriously, sir, we have a major issue that needs your attention. And he says, "Congratulations." What do you mean, Mr. Ford, when you say congratulations? What do you mean? He says, "Congratulations, you are now in a position to have to think differently than you ever have before. Congratulations, you're going to have to change your perspectives. Congratulations, you're going to have to solve a problem with new solutions that you never imagined in your life before. Congratulations, you have a problem. Congratulations, you are expanding on what you know. How you deal with issues, how you deal with difficulty, how you deal with difficult people. This is training your mind to think differently. To think as God thinks, not as the world thinks, not as your flesh thinks. Problems will build your character if you begin to understand and think through the process as God thinks through processes, as he thinks eternally, as he has empowered you with his grace and filled you with his Holy Spirit of God. You have the wisdom, you have the knowledge, you have the discernment. Go forth. Where is God involved in your life? Well, everywhere I got problems, I'm praying to the Lord. I got lots of problems. God must be really working on my character. So where's God at work in your life? Well, in my finances, for sure. There's always too much month and not enough money. There's too many emotions. I'm bouncing off the wall sometimes. I'm excited, and then I'm dry for a relationship. I got relationships, problems with my own family, my own spouse, my own kids. I got problems all over the place when it comes to relationships. Employment, oh, man, that's a whole nother story. Whole nother story concerning all the people that are at work and the coworkers that I have to deal with, and every other word's the F-bomb, and I'm trying to walk a Christian walk and trying to display what I'm supposed to display. Where is God not involved in your life? Well, let me ask you this. Here's your next slide. Can God get too personal for you?
Well, there he goes again. God talking about money. Well, there he goes again, talking about staying faithful to my wife. There he goes again. God don't understand all the things that I'm going through and all the problems that I have and all the persecutions that I'm facing. Can God get personal with you?
Which area are you kind of blocking out? You know, it's like me telling my wife, I love you 360 days of the year. The other five just give to me to do whatever I want. We okay with that? You think God's okay with that? With you? Can God get personal? He is personal. The Lord is working to perfect all of us in all areas of our lives. All areas. Which areas? Which areas? See, Einstein would say it this way: you cannot begin to solve problems with the same thinking you use to create them. I would listen to Einstein. Think differently. Some of us don't even know how. Where's the beginning of that? Well, come to the end of yourself. Stop thinking you know it all and let it all go. And seek him. And seek him. So if you find yourself in a kind of a sticky situation, congratulations. Congratulations. The Lord is doing something in your life. Can you see it? Can you experience it? And will you walk graciously in it and through it? Now, here's probably your last one, I guess. He writes, "We are not withholding our affections from you, but you are withholding your affections to us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children. I have wide open hearts before you." Here's your last one. Don't withhold grace. See, don't withhold grace. I don't know. I know I've made this confession before. I don't know if I've made it up here in the pulpit before, but the confession time for me, I cannot tell you how many times I go out on the golf course all by myself and they pair me up with some people. And those people are of the world. Very much of the world. And so they're even ridiculing and talking bad about their wives and doing all, and I just, here's my confession. You know, you guys, I'm thinking in my head, you better be nice to me. I might not tell you about Jesus. Behold the power that I have. To withhold. And isn't that like saying, I'll only love you if you love me? Isn't it? And isn't it really kind of like holding back the grace that they so desperately need? If those are the people that are of the world and in the world, and aren't they the ones that need it the most? And do I see a problem to avoid and a problem to withdraw from? Or do I see God doing something in me to bring grace to these sometimes not very happy, bitter of the world people? I confess, I've blown it a few times, several times. I also confess, I've got it right a few times and prayed with people on the 18th green standing over the flagpole. How are you going to walk with Jesus? Are you going to withhold the grace? And watch, the greatest gifts are in the giving, and they're not in the receiving. Oh, if you ever get a hold of that, man, all you want to do is give. All you want to do is pour out. And this is God, so full of love. That's all he wants to do is give and pour out. Don't withhold grace. You know, I've been told too, your life is like a big echo. If you just scream hatred, guess what comes back? Hatred. You yell out anger and bitterness. Guess what comes back? Anger and bitterness. You rave and rant, and that's what comes back. You dial up retaliation and vengeance on people. Guess what comes back? Retaliation and vengeance. You spit into the wind and you wonder why you're wet. And listen, I know it's equally as true if I spit out, if I yell out grace, grace comes back. If I yell out love, love comes back. If I yell out forgiveness, forgiveness comes. Generosity comes back in ways you never even begin to imagine. Grace is a powerful statement of God's love and his will for us. Why waste it? Why put off embracing it? Why not enter it since you have already have it? Give it away. This is an awesome expression and a genuine expression of love. We have been comforted by God. Anybody? Come on. You've been comforted by the Lord. You've been comforted that you might know it, that you might taste it, that you might feel it, that you might give it away. You have forgiveness from God. All those claiming forgiveness, hallelujah, praise be to God. I got forgiveness from God. He's allowed you to enjoy it, experience it, and that you might give it away. Why are you withholding? Why are you holding back God's grace? He's filled you with himself that you might give him away. Listen, you don't. Do you take all that God has to offer you and you hoard it up for yourself, right? This is a damn problem. The Lord pours out into you and you hoard it all up. You got a damn problem. You're just damming it all up. I say we need to blow open the dams. We need to show forth. You know what we need? We need to go public. We need to go public with our expressions of love and expressions of forgiveness and expressions of grace. Let's go public. Let's tell everybody. Let's shout it out to the Lord. We're going to baptize and we're going to teach about Jesus. We're going to dedicate. We're going to preach about Jesus. We're going to praise and we're going to sing and we're going to dance in the name of Jesus. We're going to shout. We're going to raise hands. We're going to sing as loud as we can. We're going to clap our hands in the name of Jesus. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to golf in the name of Jesus. We have our hearts wide open. I'm not holding anything back. I invite you, come to this church. We're not going to walk in fear. We're not going to walk scared of what you might think. We're going to dog you. We're going to love you. We're going to tell you about Jesus. I know you ain't perfect. It's okay. Come on. God will sort you out. Oh, yeah, but I got family issues. Yeah, Jesus had a pretty good heritage, too, that he had some issues with. Come on. God will sort it out. I know you're scared. I know you got no money. I know you're harboring hate. Come on. Enter into the grace of God. And don't withhold. He's okay. God's okay. Are you okay? Are you okay? Open up your heart to the Lord. and he will open up your heart to others. Jesus values people, all people. Which people does Jesus value? Have you been transformed by the Holy Spirit of God? Give me an amen. Listen, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Give me the last slide. What you do speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. Prove it. It will take you a lifetime. Let me pray with us. Father in heaven, I just come before you, thankful for the Holy Spirit of God that moves so mightily within us. And Father, as we prepare our hearts even to receive communion, I would pray, Father, that you would work within our hearts, our minds, in the very depths of our souls, that you would minister in such a way as that we have a full realization that you are working in our lives. Help us to not be confused. Is this the flesh? But the Spirit of God speaks boldly and brightly and truthfully. May we know your voice as you lead, guide, and inspire each of us. And Father, in this place, mold us. Wreck us. We are your children. We desire your presence and to live to bring you glory and honor. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Amen. If I have the elders come forward, we'll share in communion, and then we'll move into a baby dedication. You do not have to be a member of this church to have communion with us. I only ask that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you have done this, welcome. You're part of our family, and welcome to share and the communion table with us. Gentlemen, if you would please. The story is fairly familiar to most of us. Jesus was with his disciples. He took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat this, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Gentlemen. Jess, would you spin around and say a little prayer of thanks over the bread for us?
body of Christ that was broken as a ransom. The chastisement that should have been ours was upon him. And by his taking our iniquities, we are saved. Let us partake together. Very similar manner, was with his disciples, and he took the cup, he gave thanks, and then he gave it to them, saying, take this and drink this, for this is a cup of my blood spilled out and shed for the forgiveness of your sins, sealing an everlasting covenant between God and man. Gentlemen, Spencer, would you turn and say a prayer of thanksgiving for the blood? Thank you.
blood of Christ that washes away all our sins, let us partake in remembrance of what he has done.
Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son, sending him into the world to be given up for men, and knowing he'd be wounded and crucified on earth. Hallelujah, my Father, in his death is my birth.
Father, so grateful for you, all that you have done. In the precious name of your Son, with gratitude in our hearts and thankfulness on our lips, we say thank you and amen. Is Ashlyn here? Oh, okay, yeah, it's all right. Come on, family, come on, come on. How about we do that up here? The lighting's better. All right, while they make their way up here, come on up here. Anybody wants to come and be part of the family? Baptized last week, Antonio, where you at, brother? Come on up, man. Come on. Come on up here, guys. Come on up here. Was that water cold?
Yeah.
Yeah? You invite others to go do it, though, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Obviously. Amen, brother. Amen. Is Renee here? Renee? Where's Renee? Renee's not here today. All right, all right. How about Danny Runkle? Danny Runkle in the house. Danny Runkle's in the house. All right. Yeah, man. God bless you, my friend. Peace of the Lord to you. Yeah, anybody wants to kind of take pictures or do whatever, that's fine. Come on. All right, I need to make sure I got the parents, that I can look them in the eyeballs.
Oh, Ashlyn too. Very good.
All right, all right. I'll ask one of the elders to help me with the anointing oil soon, okay? All right.